My thoughts went to, what is it that hinders that abundance from us? The abundance, that resource, that great resource that we have to partake of. Let's turn to Psalm 1 to begin. I'm going to be looking at quite a few scriptures, but we're going to start in Psalm 1. And I'd like to look at the first three verses. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I was blessed with the illustration that was done in children's class, the two different types of plants. This passage talks about a tree that brings forth fruit. His leaf is not withered. Whatsoever he does is prospering. Why is it that way? It's planted by the waters. And I'd like to lift that up as that inflow. We can block that inflow, but what is it that blocks the inflow? We need to take in for us to then produce. Bring forth fruit, his leaf without not withering, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, that doesn't mean we don't face challenges in our lives. Hear it, make it sound like there is. Everything you do just prospers. Well, sometimes God brings some things to us to shape us and mold us. And in the end, we can say, yes, it was good for us. So, thinking about the water being a tree planted by the rivers of water. A number of years ago, I used the illustration, I'm going to use it again, but we grow mums in the fall, and one of the important things is that they get water. So each pot has, there's a supply line, there's an outlet with 8 little outlets on it, and 8 pots get fed from each outlet. So you have 2, 4, 6, 8. So one outlet feeds 2 pots in 4 different rows down the field. Every 4 feet we have an outlet. So one of the things that is very important is, like I said, is that they get water. And when we set them out, is the most critical. We want to, the very first time we had turned the water on, we like to go walk through while it's watering, or very right afterwards, and see which ones did not get water. If they don't get water, they're not going to be a thistle like we saw this morning, but they're going to shrivel up. They're going to die. So what we do is, anyone that is, you can tell by looking at the soil whether it got water or not. We take that, I said about the outlet, each outlet has a hose on it. The hose has a stake which keeps the hose in the pot. On that stake, there's a little filter and little channel that can plug up. So when I see one that's not getting water, it's time to pull that stake out, see where it's plugged up, get rid of whatever is making the blockage, put it back together, and put it in the pot. Early in the season and the first waterings are very critical, but we need to keep on doing that because there's some things show up sometimes later. There's a deposit in the pipes that can loosen up after you start using them again and flow in there and plug things up. So usually you get a pot hose opened up, they're good. They're usually good to go after you have them cleaned up. So one of the things I like to say about that is we have the flow in our lives. I like to liken the water to the Word. So if we have God's Word coming in and we're doing it regularly, it keeps that channel open. So that's a point to make. Another thing that can happen is one of those hoses can pull off. So if a hose pulls off, none of the rest get what they should because the water just runs out, the one that don't have any resistance to it. So get that hose back on and then water goes to all 8 pots. That I'd like to liken to a family. There's 8 outlets. One person out of sorts and all the rest suffer. Put that in a church setting. It's important that we all are connected so that we have even flow. Another issue we had this year, which was something that was building up over time, I guess you would say. A year ago, we had put a different pump in because we weren't getting enough. We didn't have enough water supply. I wanted to be able to do watering in the greenhouse with 2 hoses instead of 1. The pump we had before just did not. Turned a second hose on and it wasn't enough pressure. So we put a bigger pump in. Now, the issue we had was we didn't have enough of water to keep up with the pump. The pump was bigger, but we didn't have enough water. So there were several options. The option we chose was to shock that well, call it fracking. They took a machine that pumped water in there, back down the well. We put 4,500 gallons of water in that well in less than an hour. Forcing backwards, in other words, to clear out any of those channels that were plugging up. Our water was getting less and less. So putting that much water down under high pressure opened up those little channels down in the well. So that's another picture of the water not flowing like it should. And I guess I'll say it's probably a 40-year-old well, and there was some buildup. So we didn't get to test it real well yet, but it seems like our issues are different. In other words, seem to be answered. So, what is it in our lives that plugs up or slows down that flow of water? Do we have a bouquet of thorns and thistles, or do we have a nice, vibrant base of flowers. Let's turn to Jeremiah 2. I'm going to be looking at quite a few scriptures. I guess I'll say this, a disclaimer. I'm weak on making a lot of specific practical applications. So I'm going to trust the Lord to speak to your hearts as to what applies. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Two evils. First one is they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They've turned their back on God. The fountain of living waters. And the picture of God is a big God and a fountain, that not just a little trickle. But they have turned, we turn our backs on the fountain, we're going to have problems. Turn our backs on the fountain, and then we're without water. What do? We dig a hole, a cistern, and try and collect some water. And it's broken cisterns that hold no water. Broken cisterns. It don't keep even what we get. We can't keep it. Let's turn to Isaiah. Now a number of these are Old Testament, and there are word pictures. Isaiah 59. I'd like to read the first three verses. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. It's not the Lord that is slack. It's because we have turned from him. His hand is not shortened, his ear is not heavy. But our iniquities have separated between us and God. Our sins. Is there anything that we are actively engaged in? Or is it something that maybe in our past we've not dealt with? But sin separates between us and our God. That flow is stopped. Not because of him, but because of us. Your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue muttered perverseness. Hands are defiled with blood. I think of relationships. Fingers with iniquity. Getting into things that we should not. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue muttered perverseness. What is coming out of our mouths? Let's turn back across the page, chapter 58. This, if you're familiar with your Bible, is a chapter on the fast that is not approved by God and a fast that is approved. So let's read. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgression, and the house of Israel, the house of Jacob, their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Sounds like they had everything together. They were doing the right things. Verse 3 says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. They weren't receiving an answer. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? We have afflicted our souls, we're fasting, but God is silent. Behold, in your day of fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. You're not really fasting. You're living in pleasure. And it says, exact all your laborers. Oppress all your laborers. So those people you have working for you, you're oppressing them on a day that you are fasting. That is a wrong attitude to have. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Think about the attitude. Strife, debate, the fist of wickedness. It doesn't sound like an humble person seeking God's face. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day unto the Lord? There again, it doesn't sound like a good fast. Putting on a show is what I would see here. Bow down the head, spread sackcloth and ashes, and you think God will be pleased. He's not. In verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now listen to the difference. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, when thou seest the naked, and that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? You see the focus turned from himself to others. That is the fast that is here. We get our fasting right, our seeking God right, then what happens? Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine and thine health shall spring forth speedily. The health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Excuse me. The glory of the Lord will come from behind you. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. Here are some things you should not do. I didn't think much about the yoke, but we know what a pointed finger is. We're pointing our finger at others. It's speaking vanity. Instead, we are to draw out our souls to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You're going to be not one of those that the water is plugged up, but like a watered garden. A watered garden is one that's beautiful, it's lush. Beautiful flowers. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Okay, for the next passage, let's go to Jeremiah 17. What is it that keeps the flow from our lives? Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusts in man, other men or ourselves. Who are we trusting in? Are we trusting in God or man? Maketh flesh his arm. Pride. You see pride in that? Whose heart departeth from the Lord, turned back on God and to themselves. For he shall be like a heath in the desert. What is a heath? It's a little scrubby brush. It's that vase of thorns. A heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Now, I was going to come here later, but we're here. Let's look at the flip side. Let's contrast. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Trusting in God instead of man makes all the difference. You're going to have a flow into your life that you didn't have before. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. See that again? The water's there. Spreads out her roots by the river, shall not see when heat comes, because there's water there. Shall not be careful in the year of drought. It's a river. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit, constantly yielding fruit. Then it's interesting, the next verse says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So let's have our hearts open to God. Let him discern whether we're plugged up or not. We have the water flowing in. Trusting in man closes up that flow. Trusting in God opens it up. Let's go to the New Testament for a few. Let's go to Matthew 6. What is it that plugs up the flow? Matthew 6 and verse 14. Forgiveness. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness is something that plugs up God's grace, His flow into our lives. Very similar verse in Mark 11, 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness is another thing that stops up that flow. We don't forgive, God turns his back the other way, turns his back toward us. Luke 8:14. This is in the parable of the sower. In verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection, because they are surrounded by thistles. We had a lot of weeds this year we had to deal with in our mum patch. Because of all the moisture, every weed seed that was around germinated, and we had lots of weeds. But we needed to get rid of them for the looks, but it also saps out the moisture. So what is it here? What is he likening the thistles to? Choked with cares and riches. Cares and riches, we know what that is. We have cares, we have riches that we seek after. Where's the balance? Is it something that's taking the water, soaking up the water, pulling it away from what we need? The pleasures of this life, the American dream, and bring no fruit to perfection. There we go. No fruit. Let's turn to 1 John 2. First John 2, and let's start at verse 15. Similar verses to what we were just looking at. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I don't know if I saw it as clearly before as I did this time, looking at these verses. Where is our love? If we have a love for the world, we're partaking of, we're drinking from that source instead of loving the Father. It makes a difference in our lives. If we are loving the world, the flow from God is stopped up. We can't love both, is what this verse is saying. If love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So loving the world is going to stop up the flow. Love the Father, and the flow will be there. Down in verse 17, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And I'd like to think about that word abideth. There's a few other, there's another chapter 4. Let's turn over to chapter 4. 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That sounds like we're saturated with God, with his word. You could put in there as well. But the word dwell, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. It's the same word as abide. Abide. Let's turn to John 15. This is this passage that is full of the word abide. John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, the water of the word. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Coming back to our illustration, you got to have the hose on to get the water. Abide. Another interesting thing about abiding. Abiding can be a place. There's three different aspects of the word abiding. A place, we can say, I'm coming to your house. That's abiding at your house. And when we're there, we may abide there till a late hour. That's time. Or abiding can be a state or a condition. I'm going to stay where I'm at. Abide. I'm not going to change. So you have a place, time, or state. Abiding, three different ways. Now we're to abide in the vine. And Jesus says, I am the true vine. Interesting thoughts on the word true. Not only a name, but it's the real nature of the name. It's true, a true vine. A true vine is not fictitious or counterfeit, imaginary, simulated, or pretended. It's the genuine. It's the genuine vine. There's no uncertainty in him being the true vine. Okay, let's turn back to, we're looking more on the remedy side of things now. Let's turn back to Isaiah 41. Verse 17, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. When the poor and needy seek water, when there's nothing around, and we go to the right source, then he will hear. I will hear. The God of Israel will not forsake them, not forsake us. He will open rivers in high places. That's high places. Does a river flow in the mountaintop? River flows in the valley. So I'm not sure. I didn't think a lot on that, but I thought it was interesting. It was high places. And the fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. There's not water in a wilderness. In a desert. And the dry land, springs of water. That's our God. He can do that. You feel like a dry spring, dry place, He can send water. Verse 19, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, the box tree together. God's going to plant a garden in the wilderness. How about that? In the wilderness, He's going to plant trees. And then verse 20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. When you see the finished product, you're going to say, God is behind this. He is the one that is doing this. This is all, what does it say here? When the poor and needy seek water. Seek and you shall find. We heard that earlier today, didn't we? Seek and you shall find. God gives it. In Peter, it talks about desiring the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So there we have desire, a little one that's hungry. It's pretty clear to know. Do we desire the milk like the little one desires to be fed? Okay, we're in Isaiah. Let's turn to 61. Beginning at the beginning of the chapter, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Sounds like the flow of God, doesn't it? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Sounds like what we just read about. Seeking God's face, and He will plant things where it might be dry or wilderness, but it's the planting of the Lord, and it's that He might be glorified. It's not for us. We did look at chapter 58, what happens after we seek God in a right way. The light shall spring forth as the morning, the health shall spring forth speedily, righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That's the results of being at that place where the water is flowing out. Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to shew that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The righteous shall flourish, not those that are half-hearted or not living the way they ought to, but it's the righteous. They will flourish. And we were in Jeremiah, those that trust God, and God looks on them and blesses them. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47. Talk about a flow of water. I guess I look at the top of my page and I see the title. I don't know if I gave a title. Hindrances to the Abundant Life is what I have for a title. Just say that if you want one. Ezekiel 47. This was a vision that was given to Ezekiel, the way it looks. But let's think about the water, the flow of water. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. And for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without, unto the utter gate by the way which looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Do we see how, as they moved downstream, the waters got higher and higher? I'd like to liken that to God's flow in our lives. That water, maybe to our ankles, sometime to our knees, to our loins, and then to a place where we can't even swim in it. Or only by swimming can it be crossed. And he said unto me, verse 6, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. That's another thing that we've noticed. Where there's water, there's trees. And how that they depend on the water for life. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert. Desert. Think about that. And go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these rivers shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. That's God's river, the water. There's life in it. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Engaliam. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marishes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on the other that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. We will stop reading there. Do you catch all those things that it's saying there? You have the river flowing, you have trees on both sides. The leaf will not fade, the fruit will not be consumed, will not be depleted, will not be, but continuing to be producing new fruit according to his months. Where does the water come from? From God, out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, something we eat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. I'm going to look at one more, and that's Revelation. Revelation 22, I think it is. Revelation 22. And verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielding her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And I'm going to read another verse here. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, no need for a candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book. I guess that's the challenge. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come at any time. Are we ready? Are we partaking of the water? Are we making sure our channels are open so that we can receive? Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you at the end of this message. We want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the beautiful picture that you have of your greatness, your resources that we can tap into. Thank you for the picture of water and the river and how that we can be planted by the river, have our roots tapping into that living water. So Lord, help us to be able to have our channels open and receive and have leaves that do not wither and fruit from our lives. Lord, we look to you. Pray that your name would receive the honor and the glory. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.